Blog Talk Radio.
Make me a better Muslim, purify my thought. I seek refuge in thee from the accursed Shaitan. And I submit, told the lead God, my word is bond. I know I'm always screaming about righteousness, and it seems like I'm on some self-righteous tip. But no man is free of sin, I'm fighting my jihad. It's an everyday struggle and the fight is hard. But I'm striving hard to be a better person, Lord. Cause I know that I'm far from being perfect, Lord. I'm in no moral position to be judging none. Just trying to be a warner before the real judgment comes. That's why in my raps I say what I say. But I'm in the same boat, so I pray every day. Allah strengthen me with humility to deal with my lieutenant. Good soldiers here and obey, help me to represent it. Help me to fight off Satan for real, and help me to deal with this pain that I feel, this anger I feel. Help me live up to the name Muhammad and submit to the truth that you came to reveal. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy on me. Protect me from Satan and the evil he's working on me. Living in this devil's world, putting a hurting on me. The devil trying to end my show and close the curtain on me. Too many enemies plotting, any day I can die. If you're not in my corner, there's no way I survive. But if it's your will for me to go, then I'm going in the wind. I'm a soldier and I'm gonna stand strong to the end. Help me provide for my wife, I be working hard. But what I make ain't enough and she deserves it all. I barely make enough for us to make it and live. And she deserves so much more than I'm able to give. I wanna do so much for my family, and the fact that I can is so sad to me. The stress be dragging me. Feels like I need a new port and a fat bag of weed. But that's against the restrictive laws I won't ignore. Within the law is my success, plus I sign Form 4. So I pray to you, Lord, help me kill them thoughts. I tell myself it'll get better, but I feel it's not. Looking for better days, but I'm stuck for now. Ain't seen the mosque in 2 months because my truck broke down. I'm stressed out, I'm just keeping it as real as I can. When your pocket's on E, it's hard to feel like a man. I used to get money in my criminal days, but I refuse to go back to my criminal ways. I don't wanna be the nigga that I was before. I was born to be a fool, it's in my blood for sure. I'm wrestling with demons from my past that haunt. Mistakes I made, things I've done that I can't shake off. You're killing me softly, and I can't let it go. I got issues with my anger, always ready to blow. Ready to fight anybody, kamikaze can't help this. But sometimes I wonder and sit back and ask myself, is this because I'm fearless, or do I have a death wish? At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn cause I'm restless. Dealing with these demons, disturbing my peace. On my prayer rug till it's hurting my knees. Oh Allah, you know the children gone back to their mom. Please watch over them and keep them on the path of Islam. I hardly see them anymore, Lord, I miss them a lot. And the pain from it got my heart twisted in knot. My wife got sons that I love and I'm adopting them soon. Plus you blessed us with the baby that she got in the womb. She's a high risk pregnancy, I say that it's scary. She was pregnant once before, but the baby miscarried. So please bless her with the strength, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm begging you please, like I've never asked you before. Oh Allah, please help me to endure my trials. My self-accusing spirit talking to me and I hear it. It's telling me Allah is surely with the patient. Seek refuge in the law and resist temptation. So I beseech your help and beg your mercy indeed. For I believe in you and trust in you for all that I need. And I'm a helper in your cause with your apostle. So please grant to me success, Lord Allahu Akbar. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, comforter, and guide in our midst, and it is my great pleasure to be back with all of you again and greet you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, dear brother. And it is also my distinct honor to present to you our dear brother, our beloved host. But not only is he that, he's also a dedicated husband and father and an overly dedicated grandfather. But most of all, he is a great helper to the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan in raising and resurrecting the mentally dead of our people. And so without further ado, I present to you our dear beloved brother and host, student minister, James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, my beloved sister and queen, Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Once again, it is my esteemed honor and privilege to have you accompany us on this relevant forum that you have extended to us, themed by the name of or title of Put on the New Man. I want to always thank you and express my unending gratitude for allowing me this forum and others that we might bring to the listening audience, all who would take the time to tune in, some of the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the life-giving, life-saving, life-restoring message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but He, and we are forever thankful to Almighty God Allah for making His presence known to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and He making His presence known to us all in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great, great, great Mahdi, Lord of the world, the Supreme Being. We thank Him for raising up His exalted Christ, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years, who now sits on the right hand of the Father, symbolizing and expressing the instrument of execution of the will and desire of the Father, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And as he said to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on that faithful day, I don't know exactly what day it was, but he shared with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that Master Farad Muhammad was making him, Elijah Muhammad, to take his place among the people. And in like manner, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad shared with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I am making you to take my place among the people, indicating a evolutionary process by which each party ascends to another level of divine expression. I don't wish to shake people up, but perhaps we may need a shaking up. But if I want to be current and speak the language as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us in the supreme wisdom to speak it the past, present, and future perfect tense, then my reference to and of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he carries a message, but I can't limit it at messenger. For he is now made to take the place of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with the people. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was Messiah, I must say that we have a Messiah in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So in their names, beloved brothers and sisters, and we can address this opening salutation for those who may question my statement, for those who may not understand, for those who may disagree. We can question it in this forum. But I want to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace, We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam,
sir.
And Sister Aziza, I think that's the longest salutation I have ever made.
Yes, in the history of this radio show, yes, sir.
But, I'm just moved to say these things as I understand them.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank our beloved brother and our esteemed guest panelists this evening. We're blessed to host our brother and student minister hailing from the city of Grand Rapids, Michigan, under the supervision of student minister Troy Muhammad, minister or student minister of Mosque Number 1 and the state of Michigan. We're very honored to have our brother to introduce to some and present to some our brother, student minister Andre Muhammad. How are you, dear brother?
All praises due to Allah, brother. I am well by Allah's magnificent grace and his mercy. And it is an honor and a privilege to be honored to be on your show, Sister Aziza and Brother James. As always, it's definitely an honor to have anything to say for anything. And I praise Allah and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his messenger for giving me an understanding that I may have anything to say. So I thank you for having me on the show, and hopefully, by Allah's grace, that we will be of inspiration to some of the listeners tonight and hopefully get a message across that's fulfilling something that they may have in their hearts and minds that needs to be answered, inshallah. So thank you, dear brother.
All praises due to Allah. Now, I requested of my brother to provide me with a brief bio. And, of course, he did, but I didn't know how brief he was going to make it. So, dear brother, would you please expand a little bit on the bio? Give us a little history about yourself, your sojourn in the nation, your current activity and such. Please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Became registered in the nation in the state of North Carolina, in the city of Wilmington. I am actually not from the state of Michigan or the city of Grand Rapids. I was not born or raised in either state or city, but I was born and raised in North Carolina, which the weather is different from here in Michigan, which is a lot colder. But I was registered in the Nation of Islam in March of 2004, and I was up under the leadership of a brother there, student minister Tyrone, that I knew growing up in the city of Wilmington. I've seen and watched and observed him soldier on the corner with the newspaper, and I also would be speaking on some different occasions for schools and different events that they had in the city. So I admired, you know, his leadership at that time, and I was always admired by him. And he was the one that pretty much introduced me to the teachings, as well as another dear brother who passed away by now, may Allah be pleased with him, Brother Joe. He was the captain at that time, and to make a long story short, I was registered in the nation in 2000. I wrote my Savior's letter, and it came back, and I've been registered ever since. I was tutored under him, as a matter of fact, to be a student minister there, and I had some things that came up, and I left the nation for a while. I left the nation for about 2 years, and by Allah's grace, I came back. Up under the same leadership, about 2 years later, and I've been in the nation striving ever since. And I think when I came back in, and the minister had put up the form number 4, and when I signed the form 4, that pretty much made it official for me to, you know, walk the straight path of the FOI, and I've been striving ever since to be what it is that Allah wants me to be. And I met my beloved wife of 2 years, Sister Mary, married her, and moved here to the state of Michigan in December of 2011, and joined the study group here in the city of Grand Rapids, and have been striving from that position of assisting Brother Robert, Student Minister Robert here, since I've been here. And at the same time, I have a health issue that does not allow me to work. I am considered disabled. I stay at home and do things basically out of the house. I have a small business that I run from the house, and I also have plenty of time to engage in studies. So that's basically I'm not able to get out on the block and sell the Final Call newspaper because of my condition. And, you know, it kind of frustrates me to a point, but I have learned to deal with that situation, and I don't want to take up a whole lot of time, but this is what I do. It's pretty much is I have a small business that I run from the home, and I assist Brother Robert on doing the lectures on Sunday mornings. Sometimes I'll go head to study groups on Wednesday and Friday nights, and also sometimes I'll head to class, the FOI class on Monday night. So that is a brief history of me. I have a beautiful son who lives in North Carolina, and I also have a beautiful son and daughter who live here. They are teenagers. One is 14 and the other one is 12. And my son in North Carolina, he's 7. And just how I'm a family man, I love the Nation of Islam, and I'm always happy to do anything that is of service to our people, and that's basically what I do there, dear brother. So that is a brief history. I didn't know basically what kind of a history you wanted. It was really brief, it was, and I do apologize for that, but inshallah, I gave a little bit more. Hopefully, the listeners can get an idea of who it is that they're hearing on the radio now.
Well, thank you, Brother Andre. And yes, that was more than sufficient. And in terms of your limitation, dear brother, of course, that is between you and Almighty God, Allah. He is the best knower. But the Holy Quran teaches us, in the words of Allah, to work in your place. It doesn't necessarily mean or is limited to some geographical location or any particular official capacity. But it extends to mean that what Allah has allowed and is allowing you to do, work within the parameters of that allowance, and Allah will bless you. No one is your judge, brother, but Almighty God,
yes,
Allah. So continue,
yes, sir,
to do all that you can do by the grace of Allah, and we are grateful for everything that you do to aid the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and to contribute to this mission of the resurrection of the dead. Thank you, brother. We're very, very, very grateful. Tonight, of course,
thank you. You're
very welcome, dear brother. You know, there are, of course, many, many things happening today, but that which tops the items of discussion is the recent passing of our brother Mandela, affectionately known as Madika, on December 5th, last Thursday. According to what I have read, he was battling a lung infection for some time, and by the permission of Allah, he finally succumbed on that day. Of course, there's much media regarding his passing. Everyone is writing, everyone is talking, and I would point everyone who is listening to the Final Call articles found in the latest. Now, I would point everyone to, of course, the official statement of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'd like to read it. And then I want to suggest very strongly that we should read all of the articles in the Final Call as they relate to this passing of our brother. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes in his official statement. First of all, let me read the Final Call statement leading up to the minister's official statement. It reads, "The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, National Representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, issued the following statement today on the passing of Mr. Nelson Mandela, the former political prisoner, president of South Africa, leader of the anti-apartheid struggle, and African National Congress. Minister Farrakhan met Mr. Mandela in 1993 in Chicago when the then president of the African National Congress, or the ANC, was raising funds for voter education prior to the country's first multiracial election in 1994. The minister donated to that cause. Following the Million Man March, Minister Farrakhan and President Mandela met in 1996 at the president's private residence in Houghton District of Johannesburg, South Africa, where Mr. Mandela received only his most distinguished state visitors. The warm visit with the minister and the Nation of Islam delegation was an important stop on a 28-nation world friendship tour." And now his official statement. "All of us who benefited from the life and the times and the work of our beloved brother Madiba Nelson Mandela, thank Almighty God Allah for bringing that great man through his beloved mother and father and making him the giant that he ultimately became. We thank Allah God for the power of the former president and the former political prisoner Nelson Mandela's words and the power of his deeds to see South Africa become free. But the work that he did needs to be completed, and it will not be completed until land taken from the black South Africans is returned to black South Africans and the wealth that is under the foot of South Africans that has been appropriated to others comes back to the indigenous people to whom that wealth belongs. On behalf," the minister continues, "of myself, my family, and the entire Nation of Islam, we offer condolences to the Mandela family and the Nation of South Africa at this time of our great loss. However, as Muslims, we are taught in the Holy Quran, speak not of those who die or are slain in the path of God as dead. They are alive, but we perceive not. The cause that Mr. Mandela lived for is eternal. We who love and respect him must pick up that cause and complete the work that he devoted his life to." End statement and end quote. And of course, the minister speaks the sentiments of all of us who love, who respect it, and again have benefited from the strong stance that our brother took when he emerged from the prison, and even before that, when they put him in prison, enduring 27 years of being locked down simply because he stood for the freedom, justice, and equality of the black people, particularly in South Africa. However, as the minister stated, his work is not yet completed. And as we read other articles from other writers found in the Final Call, we are enlightened that while the former President Mandela was, of course, elected in the first multiracial, free, quote-unquote, free election, yet he had no power to affect the change necessary to make the South African free. Those who controlled the purse strings when he was imprisoned still controlled the purse strings when he was released. And while, as I heard my beloved brother and teacher, Minister Ishmael, speak so boldly last Sunday, he mentioned that the enemy will give us the quote-unquote political freedom, but he will keep us away from the marriage of a substantial freedom supported by finance or resource. Any freedom needs finance to affect and to express that freedom. And while we have a freedom on paper, that is to say political freedom, as Minister Ishmael shared with us, that freedom is symbol without substance. As I listened to the media response heralding and lionizing our brother Madika or Nelson Mandela, and I listened to some of the statements made by Western rulers, former presidents and European rulers, former prime minister, leaders of the very nations and governments who supported the apartheid system in South Africa. I gritted my teeth, for the stench of their hypocrisy was palpable. I could actually smell it, and I'm sure it stunk, if you'll pardon the expression, in the nostrils of God. Let us not be deceived, as Minister Ishmael cautioned us, with the wonderful words that they now lay on our brother in his physical departure. No, the enemy was as he was, and he is as he is. And he had and has no love for Mandela and the cause that he lived for and that he died for. And we must never be deceived by the masks of hypocrisy that cover the real motives of our open enemies, who are, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, disagreeable to live with in peace, and have demonstrated their unbridled hatred of black people and the darker people of the earth. We must never be deceived by any show or any false expression of their love, so-called love, for Mandela or any freedom fighter. No, it's hypocrisy. And so I appreciate you, dear brother, allowing me and the audience allowing me to express that. That has been on my heart. I couldn't wait for the show because I wanted to express my sentiment. But I want to also, you know, at this time, turn it over to you, Brother Andre, to express whatever you'd like to express regarding the event of the passing of our brother and the circumstances surrounding them.
Okay, yes, sir. You know, I myself was watching and, you know, reading in the newspaper and, of course, the news, we also know and understand that what we read in the newspaper and what we get from the news stations, the media, is that, that of course, is not necessarily what they want us to hear. So a lot of times we may get the wrong information, but we as Muslims know that we can't be fooled in this day and time. So my sentiments go out to his family and everything that the brother stood for. He was a good man in his time and what he did and came when he came out of prison to do a work among black people there in South Africa. He was concerned for those black people. But just like here in this country, there is a government there who did not have the same concern for black people that he did. And they did not like the fact to that he stood up for justice amongst those black people there. And even though he rose to power through the African National Congress and became president, there were certain forces that did not agree with the way that he came into power. And there were things that were put into place that has now, even though he was in power, and I think this was in the final part of the final call right now, or this past week's final call, where even though he was in power, South Africa still has a double-digit unemployment rate at 27%. And they still have poverty levels that are above 50%.
That's right.
They also have a high rate of HIV and AIDS for the South Africans there from the ages of 17 through 49. And with all of this, you know, they still consider South Africa to be considered one of the model countries on the African continent. And that's sad, really, if you look at it. So if that's the case, then what about the other countries that are over in Africa? If that is a model country, and if you look at the statistics that I just read, even though this brother was in power and he had the sentiments of the people there, there were still elements in the government that did not like how he came into power. And even though they released him from prison, I do believe from, I'm not saying experience, but what I've read that they let him out of prison based upon a pretext, and it could have been whatever it may have been, and he became in power. And there's, like I said, there's certain things that are still in place now that have those people in the condition that they are. And it reminds us of this country to a certain extent of how anytime a black person tries to come into power, there are elements in the government that reduce that effect. And it does not have the effect that it should. But that's what I wanted to say, even though, you know, the brother had a good, he wanted to do a good work, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And I guess his work is not complete, as the minister said. And I agree with that. His work is definitely not complete. But there's still a lot of work to be done there in that country, even though what he did was still is good, and it still is going on for those people. But there is a lot of work to still be done and needs to be completed as well.
But thank you, Brother Andre. You're right on point with that. You know, and as we not necessarily close out this subject matter, but as we segue into the theme of the 48th installment of The Time and What Must Be Done. We're talking about the ongoing struggle for freedom, justice, and equality of our South African brothers and sisters under the leadership of Brother Mandela, but there's an ongoing struggle right here in America for the freedom, justice, and equality of the American so-called Negro that is still writhing in pain under the affliction, the oppression of our open enemies here, right here in America.
Yes.
The time and what must be done. It's interesting to me, dear brother, how they're highlighting our brother Mandela's memory in such way that it underscores his capacity to forgive those from whom or at whose hand he and his people suffered. Mm. And that's what they're touting. That's what they're lifting up.
Right.
Forgiveness is definitely a wonderful quality. But there is no forgiveness without repentance.
Mm. Yes, sir.
And there is no repentance without confession.
Mm.
And there is no confession without pointing out the wrong.
Mm.
So we still have that to do as long as our South African brothers and sisters are not free, our brothers and sisters right here in America are not free, and our brothers and sisters all over the planet are yet to enjoy true freedom, justice, and equality.
Yes, sir.
So I want to get into the time and what must be done, but I want to also, if you don't mind, dear brother, and you've listened to the show before, so I'm sure you know that our format is we want to include right away and in as much as possible our listening audience, their questions and their comments, if
oh, yes,
they
sir.
Have. So
yes, sir.
At this time, before we go into the time and what must be done, I want to open up the floor to any questions that might be posed in the chat rooms, online, or, of course, on the phone, if there are any. Sister Zevna?
Oh, yes, sir. There are no questions. There's a lot of comments praising Brother Madiba, of course, known as Nelson Mandela. And I just want to remind the listening audience, please type in your questions, those of you who are in the chat room, and those of you who are calling by phone, if you have a question for Student Minister James or Brother Student Minister Andre, please press 1 on your dial pad, and we'd be happy to take your question. And Brother James, if you don't mind, I just want to say something about Nelson Mandela before you go on.
You can say whatever it is that's on your heart at any time. Go right ahead.
Well, I was listening to what you were saying, and, you know, it's just such a reflection of what we are experiencing now with our first black president, because I know a lot of people blame the current political situation on President Barack Obama. However, you can see that even when you take the highest office in the land, so to speak, that this devil is still in opposition of you and still in power, so to speak. And as long as Nelson Mandela fought, as long as he served in prison, and to come out of prison after 27 years and be elected president and still have no power is a reflection of the characteristic of this grafted one. Because it's almost like when they so-called set us free with the Emancipation Proclamation. We were free, but we were free to do what? You know, we were free to be killed. Right. We were free to suffer. We were free to be beaten, you know, and mistreated. So it's just a reflection of those people and who they are.
Now, thank you, dear sister. That's right on point. There really is no variation in the treatment of black people anywhere, particularly those of us whom Allah God has allowed to ascend into some position of leadership wherever we are. What we must understand, beloved brothers and sisters in our listening audience, what we must understand is the nature of our enemies. And their nature is so inclined that they cannot accept leadership from a black person. Inasmuch as many have voted for Barack Obama, there, of course, are some who are sincere. I don't know about you. I don't have the time to pick them out. And if you want to, you certainly can take that time. But the fact of the matter is he won overwhelmingly in both elections. However, look at the opposition our brother has been facing and subject to ever since he's been in office. What we implore you, brothers and sisters, and what we have been appealing to you with ever since the nation has been in existence. Understand the nature of things and the nature of people, because that will let you know exactly how to posture yourself, regardless to how they act toward you. When something is natural, there are unnatural restraints that you can put on the person or on the thing that will hold the expression of their nature at bay. However, if you remove those restraints at any time, then their nature will come forth. Huh?
That's right. That's right.
And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and again, this is a segue and theme of installment 48, from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in the time and what must be done, separation and independence. We
Brother
must
James,
be separate. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. That's all right.
There's a question from Duran. I think that's how he pronounced it. And I couldn't answer him directly, but he asked, did you say that Minister Farrakhan was the Messiah in the beginning of the opening tonight?
As a matter of fact, I certainly did. He was made the Messiah of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, just to expand on that, if we believe in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and if we believe that this man's mouth was not made to speak idle words or to tell lies, if we believed in our initial understanding of who and what he was as the messenger of God, well, then we must believe the words that he expressed, not only to us, but to his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I repeat, he said that Master Farad Muhammad, who was Mahdi, was making him, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to take his place among the people, and he, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was making the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to take his place among the people. Now, they used the verb making. But for those of us who were blessed to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teach us last Tuesday in his message in the believers' meeting, he used the word made. He said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has made me his Messiah. Now, I would invite all of us to read the scripture in both Bible and Quran. Read the scripture and reflect on what Jesus told Peter. He told Peter when the question was posed to his disciples, including Peter, who do they say I am?
Yes, sir.
And the disciples responded, giving a variation of answers. They say you're Elias. They say you're Jeremiah. They say you're some other prophet. But then he said, no, I ask you, who do you say now that I am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he said, and this needs, of course, a study, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but he called Peter Simon bar Jonah, which means the son of. That word bar means the son of Jonah. And we need to study why he referenced Peter as Jonah when Jonah was the reluctant prophet. But moving along, he told Peter, upon this rock, meaning Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then he said, I have given you the key so that whatever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. Well, what does that mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want you to study as I am studying. And it's not that I'm not trying to come off like I know. Please, don't misunderstand me.
Yes, sir.
I'm only trying to be obedient according to what I think I understand. And if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we must speak the language in past, present, and future perfect tense, then if I make a reference to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the position that he once held but no longer holds, then I'm disobeying the instruction. If I refer to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the position that he once held but no longer holds, I am not following the instruction given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Supreme Wisdom.
Right, right. Yes, sir. Brother James.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to add a point, if that's okay.
Well, that's fine, dear brother, because I want to turn it over to you anyway. I don't wish to dominate the show at all. I want to hear from you, and I want the guests to engage you with their questions. So,
yes, sir.
Go ahead, dear brother.
What I wanted to add was what you were saying concerning when Jesus was questioning Peter. And at the moment when he asked, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, you are the Son of God, the Son of the living God.
Then Jesus replied in return and said, well, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. That was revealed to you by God. Now, how did Peter know who Jesus was if nobody told him? Because Jesus never said, I am such and such. He never revealed himself to anybody. That was the reason why he asked Peter, well, who do they say that I am? And when he responded and gave him the answer, then he actually said, well, who do you say that I am? After he responded, they say such and such. These people say such and such. Well, who do you say that I am?
That's
now,
right.
If nobody had told him anything, or, you know, who they didn't know who Jesus was, well, how did Peter know that he was the Son of God? Well, in the scripture, it also says that if you don't believe, if you don't believe the words, if you don't believe the words, then look at my works. So Peter had to see the works of Jesus in order for him to understand who he was. The same thing when the MACD came to the Black Mountain, Detroit. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he had raised up 25,000 people, and nobody ever said who he was until the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came and said, I know who you are. And how did he know who the master was? Because he saw his work. And this is the reason why the minister can say that he is the Messiah. He's made, that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad made him his Messiah. In the scripture as well, it says again, I must go away, and I will leave a comforter behind me, who will guide you into all truth. Now, when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, before he departed, he told the minister, he said that I will get all of my people through you. All, he didn't say some. He said all of my people through you. He also told him that he was more valuable than a thousand airplanes with 1,000 sheep on them. Now that's powerful there, brother. That's really powerful. So when you look at these scriptures and who they point to, that's why it's so important, like you were saying earlier, that we study the scripture to see where we are in it. And a lot of times, you know, we might take for granted what is being taught to us by the minister. This is the reason why it's such a gap between us and him, or most of us. And this is why in the instructions, it tells us that in the minister's class, the minister's class must study and prepare themselves for examination as soon as they are able. Because we are being examined today through the scripture and through our works. And if our works are in accord with the scripture, then we will be in accord with I think it's question and answer number 9, where it says, have you not learned that your word shall be born regardless of whom and what? So we'll be keeping our word when we are performing the works like we're supposed to, when we give the message to people. How the scripture always, it also says that how shall they know unless they have a teacher? And how shall they have a teacher unless he be sent? Now we know that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said before he departed, that wherever you see him, look at him. Wherever he goes, you follow. Wherever he tells you to stay from, you stay from. So if he is telling you that everywhere we see him to look at him, and everywhere we, whatever he hears, follow it, whatever he says to follow him, wherever he goes, tells us to go, then that means that that man is going to lead us somewhere that no other man can. He has that ability. He has the wisdom. He has the knowledge. He has the understanding to take us where we need to go. And he's not going to take the blame himself. He's going to say, well, he's not going to say, well, look at what I did. He's going to say, well, look at what Allah did. That's the kind of spirit and heart that the minister has. And this is the reason why I think that what you said was definitely in accord when you said that he is the Messiah, because he has every credential of the Messiah in this day and time now. There's no other man that's walking on the planet of Earth right now that can stand in the minister's shoes and say what he says and do what he does, and nobody can do that, and nobody else can. So, yes, sir, dear brother, you were definitely correct when you said what you said about him being the Messiah.
So thank you, Brother Andre, for that support. I want to, you know, move on. I want to get into the time and what must be done and engage the audience again. I appreciate whoever posed the question. I would recommend to you to get the book, Who Do They Say I Am?, that is authored by our brother and student minister on the research team of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Brother Student Minister Dimitrik Muhammad. And I'll just read an excerpt from the book that perhaps will help us in our understanding. On page 96, under the subtitle, Without Letters But Learned, he writes, "The Bible and the Holy Quran agree that Jesus is the Messiah. Both books attest to the fact that Jesus was vehemently opposed. From the biblical narrative, his enemies are categorized as being the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes. According to the Online Etymology Dictionary, the word scribe is a verb that means to write. In the Hebrew language, it is the word sofer, which means writer or scholar. In Latin, its roots is from scribere, which means to write. In the Bible's history, the scribes who opposed Jesus were professional interpreters of the Jewish law. Now let's make the comparison." Those are my words, not his. "So, the history and etymology of the scribes highlights how this group embodied the combination and intersection of the fields of law, writing, and the Jewish religion. This connection," he continues, "is relevant and analogous to the profession of journalism in America today. In fact, the basic training and education of lawyers and journalists is often identical. This is because undergraduate law students are advised to choose a major that emphasizes research, critical thinking, writing, and close reading. In addition, the major media companies in America are headed by Jewish CEOs. Minister Louis Farrakhan has been handled in the same way of who? The same way they handled Jesus, the Messiah. The scribes, again, handled Jesus the same way that Farrakhan is being handled today. In the Bible, the Jewish leadership called Sanhedrin had a meeting that is recorded in John chapter 11. The Bible quotes their fear of Jesus after he had raised Lazarus from death. Now listen, what are we accomplishing, they asked. Here is this man performing many miracles or miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They feared the loss of their positions of nearness to Pharaoh or to the Roman leadership and asked access to the centers of leadership. Is this not the same fear of the so-called Negroes who are sanctioned leaders of black people here in America, the same people who were dictated to as to whether or not they could invite the minister to speak in commemoration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s march? Who told them not to invite the minister? And then why did they listen? The subtitle heading for these verses of Scripture is The Plot to Kill Jesus. Jesus' crucifixion was therefore planned in the aftermath of his demonstrated ability to give life to the dead. Now, is the minister giving life to the dead? Is he opening up the eyes of the blind, causing the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak? Is he affecting spiritual, mental, moral resurrection of the black man and woman in America, but not limited to us, but any who accept his word and act upon his message? They experience a resurrecting change in their life. This is indeed the work of the Messiah. Jesus pointed out their wickedness and their misuse of the people. Is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan pointing out the wickedness of those who say they are Jews but are not, but are actually of the synagogue of Satan, and their misuse of the people? He condemned their evil monetary practices that had desecrated the holy temples of God. Is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan boldly exposing their wicked and evil monetary practices and their agenda for global domination through the financial centers and institutions of the world? Think about it. And they saw in Jesus the end of their influence, control, and power, so they sought to kill him. Is this not the same circumstance surrounding the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? I'm going to stop right there. But you study. Go and read. I stand on what Allah God is blessing me to see, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this. It's not that I'm so wise. In fact, I don't arrogate to myself any wisdom at all, but I do know how to read and do a comparative analysis. And I'm sure you do too. So let's go on. Everybody all right?
Oh, yes, I don't think so, Brother James. I don't know if you're going to get to the subject of the time and what must be done, because I am inundated with questions concerning Minister Farrakhan being the Messiah. So we'll play it by ear.
Well, I don't mind the questions.
Yes, right.
But I'm not the guest. I'm the host.
Yes, sir.
And this is an open forum, but I defer to my guests how you want to handle it, you know, what you would like to do. But this is an open forum.
Yes,
we will hastily say, if we don't know, we don't know. It's in no contest of expressing wisdom. Because you can take all of what I know, my guest knows, Sister Gidget knows, and all of you out there, what we think we know, and put it on the head of a pin, and we'll still have room to drive a tractor trailer around on it.
That's right.
So, it ain't about that, but whatever you'd like to do, Brother Andre, and I'm not upset with any of the questioners. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm so happy.
It's fine with me. It's fine with me. That's why I came on the show, to, you know, hopefully try to suffice and answer questions as I may. And if I can't answer them, I would definitely humble myself and let you answer them. So there, like you were saying earlier, there's no... That's why we're on the show. So if they want to ask questions, let them ask questions, and we will try to answer them to the best of our ability, inshallah.
Yes, sir. Well, wonderful. Well, go ahead, Sister Aziza.
Okay, we have a question from Allison. Allison said, how is a Messiah made? A Messiah is sent from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first question. So,
I'm sorry. Read that again, that dear sister. I want to make sure that I got the question right.
She said, "How is a Messiah made? A Messiah is sent from heaven."
Okay. Well, a Messiah's work is the resurrection of the people. When Master Farad Muhammad came, he had what we call military training. And military training is something that's not what we will look at as far as the militaries of the world. We are taught that military training implies tactics. Military training implies maneuvers. Military training implies going behind the lines in enemy territory. Military training implies establishing a beachhead behind the lines in enemy territory and then proceeding to take control. Well, when Master Farad Muhammad came, or before he actually revealed himself, or who he was known, he was back and forth in this country 20 years, studying not only us, but also the enemy. So therefore, he was preparing himself a foundation on which he could train one to bring or to be a Messiah. In order for you to be a Messiah, you have to know the condition of the people that you're trying to raise from a depraved condition, and also the condition of a people who has dominance or power or rulership. So he came and he studied both people. Then he went to a particular city where the people were very poor. They were disenfranchised. They were politically downtrodden, economically downtrodden, all of the factors that consider to make a people rejected and despised. He came to that area, and he started to go amongst those people selling silks and whatnot to gain entry into their homes so that he could teach them a program, if you want to say, different from what they were used to. In the scripture, in the revelation, it says, behold, I make all things new. Well, when somebody is, if they're dissatisfied with something, then they want to change whatever it is that they're dissatisfied with and make it new. So he was dissatisfied with the condition of the people that he came to. And he began to make a new foundation on which they would believe away from what they were used to believing, and then raise one from amongst those people who he would deposit within himself or that person a knowledge that would raise him to a level that he would continue his work. In the scripture, it says that I do the work of my Father. Well, if he's doing the work of his Father, then that means he has to have a certain knowledge that will enable him to raise the people from a depraved condition. Now, when you're talking about, when she asked the question, well, a Messiah is sent from heaven. Okay. Heaven, in this framework, consists of the mind. The mind is the highest portion of your thinking or rationality.
We're not talking about the low desires. The heaven of the mind, the heaven is the mind. And when you start talking about a mind that has been raised from a depraved condition through its thinking, through its actions, through its thought process, its morals, then that person has been raised to a heavenly mindset where his morals are upright, his thinking is upright, his actions are upright, the way that he deals with people are upright. And when he's in that position, he's able to raise other people to a position that's consistent with what he believes. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he came, the first thing he did was reform the woman. He didn't start teaching about a deep study of the Holy Quran or Arabic because he knew that we were in a condition that was irrelevant. That was irrelevant at that time. What we needed at that time was to be recognized as a people who were not considered three-fifths of a human being. So he had to raise the woman to a position that way she would be respected. And once she was raised to a condition where she could be respected, then she would also raise a nation that could be respected. He taught her how to keep house. He taught her how to rear her children. He taught her how to take care of her husband, how to sew, cook, and in general at their home and abroad. All of these things are necessary in order for you to build a civilization. Well, what is civilization? Civilization is one possessing knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, culture refinement, and it's not savvy. Pursuit of happiness. Those things are relevant. So when you start saying, well, about making a Messiah is made through knowing the conditions of a people on both sides of the table, understanding what it is to raise one people from out and under the dominant rule of another people and civilize them to a point where they don't need, they can become self-independent. And inshallah, Brother James and Sister Aziza, I don't know if that might answer the question of the one who had the question, but that's my perception of being what is a Messiah, and a Messiah is heavenly sent.
Well, I appreciate that, dear brother. Did you want to add something, Sister Aziza?
Nah, y'all don't want to get me started.
No. Well, if you don't, I'd like to, if we can, close that question by my response, in addition to what to the truth of what our brother just expressed, is that while the Messiah is made in heaven, that's absolutely correct. But as Jesus was made in heaven, he came through the womb of Mary. He had a flesh and blood body. You don't make Messiah through the act of sexual or physical procreation. You make Messiah by giving birth to an idea in the head of an individual, which will ultimately manifest in a wisdom that will produce in those who hear the word the manifestation of God himself. Now, Jesus is referred to as the only begotten Son. I always wondered about that, because we say in the same breath that we are all children of God, but he's the only begotten. So what are we, illegitimate children? It's because you don't beget a Messiah in a physical way. He's made in heaven in that the wisdom of God, who is on high. Remember, the scripture says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Yours are from beneath, and mine are from above. Well, it's not talking about some place in sky.
Right.
It's talking about the high level of supreme wisdom that gives birth to a Messiah. In the Holy Quran, it says that, I want to read it to you. In the Holy Quran, the third surah or chapter, the 44th to the 48th verse, it reads, I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. When the angels said, O Mary, surely Allah gives thee good news with a word from him. A word. A word from him. Of one whose name is the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, worthy of regard in this world and the hereafter, and of those who are drawn nigh to Allah. And he will speak to the people when in the cradle and when of old age, and he will be one of the good ones. Now this speaking to the people from the cradle means the initial stages of his messianic mission. And then as he evolves, he's speaking from old age. But neither the Christian concept nor the Muslim record shows that Jesus ever lived to old age.
Right.
Christians who study say that he was crucified and died on the cross around 36 years old. The Muslims say that he was about 33 years old. Nevertheless, none of which is or constitutes old age. So he's speaking from the cradle, which means there's an early stage of his messianic development found in the expression of the initial representative of the Messiah or the messianic title. Remember now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote in point number 12, he said, we believe that Allah God appeared in the person of W.F. Muhammad, July 4th, 1930, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and the Mahdi of the Muslims. Now, Master Farad Muhammad is wearing, according to this particular statement, the title of Messiah, but he no longer is wearing that title. Well, what happened to the title? The title was conferred on that one whom he had breathed into him of his knowledge, his spirit, and of his power. I, again, Elijah, am making you to take my place among the people. So Master Farad Muhammad no longer wears the title Messiah. He now confers that to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states that I, Minister Farrakhan, am making you to take my place among the people, as I am exalted into the position of a risen and exalted Christ. I am exalting you to the position of Messiah. Let me read on. She said, my Lord, how can I have a son and man has not yet touched me? He said, even so, Allah creates what he pleases. When he decrees a matter, he only says to it be, and it is. And the fact that no one has touched Mary doesn't mean that no one will touch Mary. And he will teach him, listen now, the book, meaning the Quran, and the wisdom of the book and the Torah and the Gospel, the Torah being the Old Testament, the Gospel being the New Testament, and make him a messenger to the children of Israel. Now, who are the children of Israel, and who is bringing the message to those children? America is the greatest nation in the world, the most powerful nation in the world, ostensibly or apparently. But she cannot make any decision that ill affects that little nation over there in the East called Israel. Whatever Israel says, America does. Whatever Israel dislikes, America must comply.
Right.
America is going around the earth demanding that all these nations get rid of their nuclear programs. And they cannot have weapons of mass destruction. Now, how many does Israel have, and why does not America approach her and tell her, get rid of yours? It is because it's a case of the tail wagging the dog. Yes, America is the big, powerful nation, but in reality, she's being ruled by that little nation called Israel. And the children of Israel. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us that that preposition of, O-F, denotes possession.
Yes.
And we,
right,
black people in America, were, and in some cases presently are, owned by America. That is to say, we cannot function outside of the purview of our power. Whatever she wants us to do, she will frame a law to give it a legal sense or a legal perception, but the fact of the matter is we have to bow down to what she says we have to do. She teaches us in her schools. She feeds us from her farmland. She clothes us from her factories. Everything that we need as a people is being supplied by America, even as parents supply the needs of their children. So we are the children of Israel. We're the true Jew. What is a Jew? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, a true Jew is one who has a sacred covenant relationship with Almighty God. And what is our sacred covenant relationship? Know of a surety, Abram, that your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall be afflicted for 400 years, after which I will come, after your affliction. I'm going to come, and I will deliver your people out with great substance, and they will go to their fathers, I'm not quoting it perfectly, and be buried in a good old age. Well, we're the seeds of Abraham. So we're the true Jew. And as such, we are the children held in the possession of America, who is in the possession of that little nation called Israel. So we are the children of Israel. It reads further. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, still talking to Mary, that I determined for you out of dust the form of a bird. Then I breathe into it, and it becomes a bird with Allah's permission. Well, what is a bird, and why is it formed out of dust? A bird is symbolic of a high degree of wisdom, of knowledge. How do you form the bird out of dust? You take a people whom the world has reduced to dust. Dust is a substance. It's a particle of matter that is tied to something else with a function. But it doesn't move on its own. Whatever it's tied to, the dust moves with it. Does that not describe us here in America? Whatever white folk do, we have to go right along. Look at what the scripture says. I then breathe into it, and it becomes a bird with Allah's permission. So with the permission of God, with the power and by the power of God, this Messiah, this messenger, breathes into a dust-like people, a people who were reduced to dust, whose tongues were tied in ignorance, just repeating the word of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now we express a wisdom that confounds the so-called wise. So much to the degree that they said, how can this one, not having letters, is learned? You're listening to me, Brother James, but I am of the dust. I have no wisdom of my own. I am a victim or a product of the ghettos. Growing up in the hood in Brooklyn, I got kicked out of school. I went through institutions, and you know what I'm talking about. In other words, I was I just was in jail. I won't pretty it up. But listen to what your brother is saying. Who taught me? How could I talk like this? I'm not trying to pin anything on myself, but look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Who taught him? We become birds with Allah's permission. And I, again, meaning the Messiah, heal the blind and the leprous and bring the dead to life, with Allah's permission, and I inform you of what you should eat. Who is teaching us how to eat to live from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Who is teaching us what to store in our houses? Is it not the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? Surely there is a sign in this for you if you are believers.
Yes, sir.
He's the Messiah. He's made the Messiah. You know what, brothers and sisters? We read the Bible. And we make references to ourselves as being the children of God. We read in the Psalms wherein it is stated, ye are all God's children of the Most High God. Yeah, but do we really believe that? Why are you so bent out of shape because we say a man is God and has the power to reproduce himself in other men? Jesus said, come follow me so that where I am, you can be also. Well, where are you? He's not talking about some place in sky. Jesus
right.
is at the right hand of the Father, executing the will of the Father. He didn't say, come worship me. He said, come follow me. Paul says, let this mind be in you, the same that is in Christ Jesus. He said, Jesus, having the form of God, thought it not robbery to be God. Go and read your Bible. The disciples asked Jesus, Master, when will we see God? He said, I have been among you all this time, and you haven't seen God. When you see me, you see the Father, because I and the Father am one. This is expressing a evolutionary development and relationship, that A is to B as B is to A. But it doesn't stop there. A is to B as B is to C, and C is to D if D obeys C.
Yes, sir.
I hope you do. Master Farad Muhammad made his appearance, or Allah God made his appearance in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. For what purpose? Was it just or limited to make the declaration and announcement that God is present and you should now all worship me? Or was it exemplary of a process, the ultimate end of which is to become a manifestation of the Creator? The Quran teaches us, man is ever struggling, striving to meet with God, but he will need him. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean that that's a sit-down, you shake God's hand and say, you know, how you doing, God? I've been struggling and striving. You know, I'm so happy to meet you. It could be. But consider this. To meet God is to become one with his mind.
Right.
As Jesus said, I and my Father am one. Well, how did he get like that? He said, I can of myself do nothing, but whatsoever the Father commands me, that will I do. Whatever he bids me to say, that will I say. Now, if you put yourself in that position as it relates to someone else, you can't say anything except what he tells you to say. And you can't do anything except what he tells you to do. So even though you're talking, it's not you talking, it's the person who's commanding you to talk. He's talking
right
through you. You may be doing something, but in reality it's not you doing it, it's the person that is commanding you to do. So you become him in your person. So if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad submitted totally to Master Farad Muhammad, then he becomes what Master Farad Muhammad is. And if the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan submits himself totally, as he has done, to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then he becomes what he is. And if we submit ourselves totally in the process to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and what he represents in the process, then we become him. And finally, we meet with God. And read your Bible. It says, in that day, God will be in your presence. You won't have to look for him. He'll be right with you.
That's right.
Read your Bible. Read your Quran. I know we don't look anything like what I'm saying. I don't even look like what I'm saying, and I'm saying it. But that's our potential. This is why the scripture says we have a form of God, but denying the power thereof. Man, you can't get away from the scripture. You can't get away from it. We are denying the power thereof. Think about it. Well, thank you for allowing me that response. Thank you, Brother Andre. Thank you, my dear brother or sister who asked the question. Search it out for yourself.
Yes,
you don't have to take our word. Search as we are searching and prove it for yourself. Paul said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is true.
Okay. Brother James, you made a comment at some point, and Sister Zaya, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, says, why reform the woman? Men are the wicked ones that created war throughout the land.
Man, that's
so,
an excellent.
I don't know, I think it was Brother Andre who made that statement, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's an excellent question. Go ahead, Brother Andre.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. What was the question again?
She says, why reform the woman? Men are the wicked ones that created war throughout the land.
Okay. Yes, I do remember making that statement. Well, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came, before I get into that, he said that where there are no good men, there are no good women. Or he might have said it that way, or he may have said it the other way. But nevertheless, when we talking about raising or reforming a woman, Brother James had said earlier about the mind or an idea or a concept. It is the woman who, during her present pregnancy, it is the thoughts that she has, the environment that she is in or around, or the people that she is around, especially when we start to talk about how she conceived the child. And I want to give you a scenario. When she's at home and, you know, she may be dressing and getting herself ready to go to a party or a club or what have you, and she's putting on the revealing top and, you know, the tight bottoms, the jeans, or the dress that fits her shape in a way that it reveals what she looks like, both upstairs and down. And, you know, she's saying to herself, you know, I'm going to have me a good time tonight, and I may even pick up me a, you know, a nice friend. And she may go to this place, be it, like I said, a club or a party, and she goes there with a idea, a concept that's low down. Not necessarily that she's looking for it, but the way that she's dressed is going to invite that particular concept towards her. And she gets there, and she may run into a few people, and then she happens to run into a nice-looking guy, and he asks her onto the dance floor. They get onto the dance floor and they start to have the slow dance, and the next thing you know, he's whispering things into her ear. In the Holy Quran, it says that Allah is closer to you than your jugular vein. Now, when he starts to whisper these things into her ear, the ear is very close to the jugular vein. And it tickles the ear when you say things that, or he says things that she is interested in hearing. They are dancing real close and things start to get heated up. And the next thing you know, they're in the vehicle, or they may have gone to a motel or someplace, and they perform the sexual act, or they make love, as they say. And she ends up pregnant. Then, once she finds that out, because it was conceived in a low-down atmosphere with the wrong concept or idea, she may have thoughts of not wanting the child. And she may even try to harm the child or have an abortion or do something to the child to make sure that it is not born. So because of that, she has placed murder in the child, in the mind of the child, and she's placed hatred in the mind of the child, and she's also placed dislike in the mind of the child. And from that matter, when the child is conceived, he has a bad idea or concept of who he is as a person because of the thoughts that his mother had when she was pregnant with him. And not to say that all women are like that. It's just to say that in order for you to have a civilized nation, the woman has to have a reformed mind, basically because she's the one who brings in the new world. She's the one who brings in the new kingdom. Whenever a city or a country or a continent or a civilization is conquered, the first thing that they take is booty. And the booty, in layman's terms, is considered the woman. Whenever they go into a civilization and conquer it, or a nation, the spoils of war is usually the women and the children. And whenever they take this booty or the spoils of war, the enemy can place his seed into that woman and then make the child submissive to his way of life, his idea, his concept, through his education, through his religion, through his politics. All of these things is what will bring a nation down or make a nation powerful. So it is through the woman who has to be reformed. First of all, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that 75% of the work, or his work, was with the woman. And if you notice, 75% of the earth is covered with water. Why? Because water is life. There's life within water, and life cannot exist without water. So when you say to reform the woman, it is the reformation of the idea or the concept that she has when she is in the process of conceiving the child, to make sure the child does not have the wrong thoughts in that conception, does not have the wrong idea in that conception, nor should she place any fear within the child during her conception, because all of these things will be reproduced within the child when it's born through its actions and its concepts. Now, when you have a woman that has been not have bad thoughts or those things that are detrimental during her conception, then you can raise what you call a genius, or in what we call a god, because a genius is not a correct term to use for one who can achieve all of the achievements and awards of this world has to offer. But when you allow a woman to be in an environment that she can place within that child an idea or a concept that allows him to be above the morals and concepts that they see or is noticeable in this civilized country or this nation, which is considered to be civilized, then that's when you will have a people, not only the reformed woman, but you will also have the reformed man as well. And that, I think that's I know Brother James, you probably have something to add to that, but that's my answer to that question.
Well, I appreciate your answer, dear brother. I'm not going to add anything to it. I think you made it clear the value of the woman and her great contribution in making the man. So I don't wish to add anything at this time, dear brother. I thank you for your answer.
Well, if you don't mind, let me explain something to Sister Zaya because she still has some questions. Let me try to just narrow this down for her. We the women are the first educators of man. When a child is born, we are the ones who are the primary caregivers of that child, and we are the ones who are responsible for the environment in which that child is developed. So in order for our children to grow up and manifest the attributes of God within themselves, they first have to be nurtured in an environment that is conducive for that to happen. And that is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had to reform the woman, because it's the woman that gives birth to a nation. And so it is very important that the woman is reformed back to the way of Allah's intention in order for her to bring forth a God from her womb, and in order for that God to go out into the world and project righteousness and godliness. So I just hope that was more clarity for you, Sister Zaya. And if you have further questions, just go ahead and leave them in the inbox, and I will take them. And Brother James, is it okay if we take a question from the phone line?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, you know,
okay.
This is an open forum. You know, we want everybody to be able to express what's on their heart and on their mind.
Yes, sir. So, San Antonio, Texas, your mic is live. Area code 210.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say that I'm really enjoying the beautiful, beautiful words that are being shared today, this evening, from all of the hosts and all of the listeners that are sending out questions and bringing out the Spirit of God in these two wonderful brothers. And I just want to say, keep up the good work, brothers. Keep studying hard. And y'all have both inspired me to study harder. So I just want to thank y'all for this wonderful show, and I'm going to go back to continue to listen and learn. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you, Brother Carl. Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam, dear brother. Thank you.
Okay, well, we did have some more questions, but Brother James, you just let me know when you're ready.
Brother James?
Brother.
Oh, yes, I'm on. I'm sorry. I had muted the phone so that I wouldn't make any noise. Sister Ziza, you know, I'm kind of animated. when I'm speaking on
well,
the phone.
Well, you're about to get real animated, because these questions are, So are you ready?
Inshallah. Go right ahead.
Okay. My friend, all for you, whoever that is, he's always on the line, says, what miracles do you see that Minister Farrakhan has performed? Do you see him other than just a man?
Well, you know, I can answer that very easily and say, you're listening to a miracle he's performed.
Yes, sir. I mean,
of course, that doesn't necessarily answer the question for you, because you don't know me, you don't know my history, you don't know the humble past from which Allah, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, has raised me. So, but Well, what is a miracle? Let's look at what a miracle is. Let's see. Give me a moment, please. Let's see how a miracle is defined. Okay, what we say in the language, clearing the word. Okay. A miracle is defined as follows: an effect or extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause, such as an effect or event manifesting or considered as a work of God, a wonder, a marvel, a wonderful or surpassing example of some. I can only tell you, this is a brother that asked the question?
Yes, all for you is a brother. I confirmed that a few weeks ago.
Yes, my dear brother. If you look at the condition of the black man here in America and reflect on what was done to us when we were reduced to something lower than the animals, so much so that one of the enemies, I think it was in the House of Congress in Virginia, and declared, we have closed every avenue by which light can enter into the slave's mind. Can you imagine having every avenue closed through which knowledge can enter? Because that's what light, that's what he was referring to. Enter into your mind. We were deprived of the right, the natural right to seek knowledge, to read, on pain of death. It's a miracle that we now are reading. It's a miracle that we were raised by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, totally reformed from the nigger, the coon, the buffoon, the alcohol drinking, drug abusing, women disrespecting nigger that the white man made us. That in itself is a miracle. What did he do? What did he do? This is a man that went to the fourth grade in the institutions of learning of this world. Yet look at what he accomplished with us. So-called Negroes, haters of ourselves, shiftless, lazy, disrespecters of our women, neglecters of our children. That's a miracle. You may not think it is. You may be looking for someone who can put their finger in a gallon of water and turn it into ripple. I don't know. You may be looking for someone to bring fire from the sky. I don't know what you're looking for as a miracle. But to me, it is a wonder. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, can raise this black man here in America. It's a marvel. A wonderful or surpassing example of some quality. An extraordinary event in the physical world after what we have been reduced to. That's a miracle. Not only did I witness him doing it, I experienced him doing it with a man whom the world had counted out. I even counted myself out. That's a miracle. Did I get a little
You know, I get a little emotional when I reflect on the miracle of my own life. And, of course, my experience is not unique. There are others whom the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has saved with the word and teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Isn't that enough to qualify as a miracle? Look at what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has done, and look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continues to do. He is a man who has garnered the hatred of the most powerful enemies in the world. In the world, bar none. Yet they can't do anything to him. They can't stop him. They can't hurt him. They certainly want to kill him. But apparently they don't seem to be able to do that. Here's a man that has went to death's door 3 times and nearly a four. So close to death was he that his enemies had already written his obituary. Allah takes him to the jaws of death and then snatches him out of the jaws to make manifest his presence with the man. You know, you all get so excited. I'm not talking about the person who asked this question because I don't know you. But you all get so excited about the reported miracle performed by a Jesus of 2,000 years ago. But you cannot muster any excitement over the miracle of the FOI and the MGT from niggas? You cannot marvel over the miracle of a single, solitary man armed with nothing more than a word that comes out of his mouth, yet he brings the most powerful enemies in the world to their knees? You don't think that's a miracle? Then you try it. See if you can do it. I'm not saying that you won't be able to, but try it. If you have the heart to try it. That's the miracle. I'm not looking for reversals of nature, aberrations of the natural physical laws of the universe. I'm not looking for that. What does that mean to me? What means to me is the miracle of life after a life of death. That's the miracle to me. I'm not looking for a magician's trick. What does that mean to me? I'm finished with that question.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time. So if you or Brother Andre want to, wow, the time went so fast. If you all want to make any closing comments or statements.
I just want to, as I always do at the end of every show, express my gratitude. I wanted to get into the minister's separation and independence because that in reality is the only solution to the
problem between the two people. So perhaps next week we can get into it. But I want to thank Almighty God Allah for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to thank him for taking one like me, a nobody, a dummy, and putting wisdom in my head and allowing me to express that wisdom from God that belongs to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I am as a vessel being allowed to express it through me.
I want to thank
Allah. Then, of course, I want to thank my listening audience, our listening audience, for your regular participation, your loyal participation in our show, with our show. I want to thank my beloved sister and queen, Aziza, for extending to me this forum, this most relevant forum and format, to open up the floor for those of you who may be otherwise voiceless to express yourself over the airwaves, to say whatever is on your heart and mind, even if it's offensive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank Allah for our sister who has extended that to me and you. And I want to extend it to everyone that I can. You don't have to have a big title. You don't have to be a well-known official. You don't have to be anything other than a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that wishes to express your love and your commitment to him and to his cause. That's what this show is about. Our people must be raised out of the condition that 400 years of slavery has rendered us in. There has been and is to this day only one methodology, one program that has been and is successful, and that is the program and methodology of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad expressed through his student, his Messiah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So that's what I want to say. Thank you. Brother Andre?
Yes, ma'am. And yes, sir, I just wanted to thank, first of all, Allah and his messenger. They're both, and the representative that both of them have in our midst today. For like Brother James had said earlier, raising me from a dead level, from being crazy as hell, to the man that I am today, and what he has put into me or deposited within me that would allow me to have anything to say to anybody of value. Because before, I was not one to read a book or consider myself to be morally respectful as I do or strive to be today because of that man that's in our midst and because of the two that back him. It's because of them three that I have anything to say of value or to be the man that I am today. And I want to thank also Sister Aziza. You know, we've been friends for a while. Not so much so talking friends, but hopefully now from this point on, so. And also Brother James,
yes, sir,
that we started a good relationship that will continue, you know, for many years now. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to be on the show. And I look forward to hopefully in the future be on some of the other shows that you have, and, you know, hopefully I can be of an inspiration to callers to call in and have hopefully questions that we may be able to answer. So thank you, dear sister, and you dear also, dear brother, for allowing me on the show. I do really appreciate it. I'm humbled to have been on your show.
All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. And, you know, Brother Andre, we do have a rule. You know, you can come on here one time, but you can't come on here just one time. So that means that you definitely have to come back. And
that's
right. We definitely appreciate you blessing us with your presence today and all of the good teaching and information that you have provided to us. So, Brother, we thank Allah for you and your work in helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm sure without a doubt that you are most definitely a gift, as all of the brothers and sisters are who are in the ministry, a gift to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in helping him get out the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and resurrect our people. So, original salute to you, soldier, and you are most definitely loved and appreciated. Okay, well, let me just get to the announcements right quick. Join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central for Young, Gifted, and Black, hosted by our beloved little queen, Yatira X, out of Tampa, Florida. She will be talking about the duties of the Muslim. And so please come out and support our youth on that. On Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Central, Brother Vernon will be back with No Romance Without Finance. Of course, he's going to be talking about the economic blueprint. On Monday, join us with Brother Kareem Muhammad, and he's not here tonight, so I can't get a sneak peek of the preview of what his topic will be. But, of course, just tune in at 8 p.m. Central for Conscious Black Nation. And on Tuesday, Brother Jahab will be back with the Indigenous Native Americans out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. I forgot the name of his topic, but don't miss it, 8 p.m. He's going to be speaking live with the Navajo Nation. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., join us for DJ Black Season, Friends, a hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, which I know I was supposed to do it this past Thursday, but, of course, Student Minister Robert had to be in Chicago. So join us for Student Minister Robert, Student Minister Troy, and the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Brother Kamal Muhammad, as they're going to be talking about Savior's Day, land acquisition, and city management. And we're talking about rebuilding Mecca. And, of course, next Friday we'll be right back here with Student Minister James Muhammad. We'll put on the new man, and inshallah, he will be able to get to the series of The Time and What Must Be Done, Part 48. So he's going to have to do double duty because he's going to have to do 48 and 49. So inshallah, we'll be able to get that done if he does not stimulate the audience into a frenzy, because now I think I've broken two nails. And I have been trying to accommodate the questions, but I just want to say this, you know, in scripture, in the Bible, I think it reads, and, you know, I'm not a scriptural person, so don't even go there, but I know it says, yield not to your own understanding. Okay. And I want to leave you with the instruction to pursue knowledge of God with a pure heart. If you read scripture with a preconceived notion, you are already misled. But when you read scripture to obtain information, then go to it with an open mind and be pure at heart in seeking the truth instead of justifying what you think you already know. And when you align yourself with God, Allah, then allow him to come into your mind. That is what you call elevating your mind. And everything that the white man told you that was impossible, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that you have to take what the white man says and turn it around.
That's right.
And
right.
There are so many questions that we didn't get to, but I want to say this to the listening audience. You may have heard this before, some of our Christian listeners. We don't believe in spookism.
Mm-hmm.
We believe
right.
that Allah God is a man. And the
right.
embodiment of that man is, I'm sorry, I didn't want to sneeze on the air. But the chosen men of Allah are embodied with the spirit of that initial creator that we know as the supreme being, the God. And that supreme being has the power to choose whom he pleases to manifest his word. And that word is manifested in a man, and that man comes and gives that word to a people.
That's right.
Now, for mm-hmm. those of you who believe that Jesus of 2,000 years ago is going to appear, you're right and you're wrong, because the same spirit that embodied the Jesus of 2,000 years ago is in Minister Farrakhan today. So that
right.
Jesus is back. That Jesus is present. But if you're looking for the physicality of the Jesus of 2,000 years ago, then that is not going to ever appear unto you. And the reason why I usually don't even get off into this, but the reason why I do is because I'm doing it tonight is because I want people to understand. I don't want our people to be lost in spookism. Because everything that has happened has been manifested in a physical, real way, something that you can see, something you can smell, something you can touch. And so when the messenger was among us, we could see him, we could hear him, we could touch him, and we could bear witness to the miracles that he performed by resurrecting a dead people who had no knowledge of themselves. We didn't even know we were from Africa. We had been so far removed. And then the things that they told us about Africa were so untrue. We believed that we were three-fifths of a human being. All of you who are walking around right now talking about black power, black this, black that, without the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you would not have ever been able to even say that or even think of
right.
yourself as being great in
right.
any kind of way. So when you talk about freedom, when you want to talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, you receive that. When Master Farah Muhammad raised up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and freed your ability to speak that I'm black and I'm proud, and that I'm
That's
black
right.
and I'm beautiful, and that I'm black and I belong to the original God. You wasn't able to say that before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, excuse me, had been taught by Master Farah Muhammad and came amongst the people and raised all of us up. So for those of you who are looking for some miracle out of the sky, the one that you're looking for is not what you're going to see.
That's right.
Because what's going to come in the sky is going to be a dreadful day. And so
hey, go ahead,
I, just
right.
want our people, I just want our people to understand. And, you know, I don't like to do this. I don't like to preach and teach. But, you know, we're at a time now. To whereas you have to understand that the minister is our grace and our mercy.
Jesus.
And I don't know if y'all know what grace and mercy is, but let me tell you, Allah has been more than patient, more than graceful with us.
That's right.
And we have the nerve, we have the audacity as a people to turn on one another. We have the audacity as a people to lose patience with one another. And so we start to slack talk and gossip and, you know, judge other people when we are in no moral position to do that. So we are all on grace and mercy right now. But how long do you think that's going to last?
Come on, sister.
Look at the time of Noah. The people didn't believe that the flood was coming, but the flood came. And so what position are we going to be in when the flood comes this time? And Allah is not impressed by your personal goals, because if you mistreat your brother and sister, you have offended the God.
That's right.
You have offended him to the utmost. So it's not about your personal accomplishment, but it's about how you treat your brother and sister. It's about you being able to look within them and see the God in them. There are 99 attributes to Allah. Everybody has an entity of Allah in them. People have multiple entities of Allah in them, and you don't seek that because the white man told you that, you know, you are less than, or that you are to be devalued, or that you can't trust somebody, or that he has light skin and you have dark skin, so you can never unify. People, we have to stop that, because the time is critical. We are at week 49 of the minister's 52-week series.
Come on, sister.
Right.
Now, after 52 weeks of the minister taking his time every week, sick or well, to deliver us a message, then what does that mean? What happens at the end of 52 weeks?
Come on.
Preferably, the application of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he has given us the roadmap again.
Mm-hmm.
So obedience is the key. Listening, studying, loving one another, and doing what he said do in the beginning. Surah 103. Enjoying one another to patience in their development, in their understanding. But enjoying one another to truth as well. So we are not in the time where we have to appease somebody because we don't want to offend anybody. We're at the time where we have to tell the truth and be patient with you in understanding that truth.
Right.
But we do not have to be patient with your nonsense.
Right.
So those of you who will hear and obey, may Allah continue to bless you in your efforts. Those of you who continue to turn a deaf ear, that is fine. That is your choice, but get the hell out of the way.
Right.
Come on.
And that's all I have to say.
I'm sorry.
All praises due to Allah. I'm sorry.
All praises due to Allah. And don't apologize for your testimony.
Don't apologize.
All praises due to Allah.
That's right.
All
praise
due to Allah. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, that's our show for tonight. And I want to thank the listening audience and thank all of you on the phone who gave me the patience to hear what I had to say. I love you all so much. We never take you for granted. May Allah continue to bless all of you and join us here tomorrow night. So one nation, one love. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum salam.